Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you haven't tried Superbeet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Superbeet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Superbeet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
The fact that the University of Washington model, which the White House has previously touted, projects that cases and deaths are going to spike this November, and an additional by 215,000 Americans, they say, are going to die. Began the spike in November, but by the first of the year, 215,000 will be dead. Additional.
Additional people. Jeebus. Wow. Is it too early to fling ourselves off of the rooftops yet? Good grief. Say something nice, Dana. Say something nice. Welcome to the show, guys. It's Thursday, so we are almost through this week. I'm Dana Lash. Find me all the places that you find me. Channel 244, Pluto TV, via the First. I literally said, like, when we came in here, said I hate these people. And I kind of mean it. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. Stop telling everyone that they're going to die because of the virus. You're ruining everyone's lives, okay? Over something that, yes, be reasonably concerned. But if you, this guy getting up there and telling everyone that they're all going to die, this is exactly the kind of hysteria that they got upset at Donald Trump for not conveying. Gosh. So, just some of the stuff we're going to be getting into in addition to this, because I watched that presser. One of the press conferences that he gave yesterday. And whenever I hear Biden speak, I have zero confidence in him. I mean, as a human, just him being able to take care of himself as a, you know, sentient human being. And it just, every time he keeps talking, and I that sentiment grows. So the press that he talked about this yesterday, he was talking about the virus response, and they all act like there's no response, which I also don't understand, because they all bitched about the response that Trump had because they said he went too far, and then now they're trying to rewrite history and say that he hasn't gone far enough. And of course, yesterday there wasn't really the only thing that I saw yesterday. We had a historic day this week, and I have noticed that the media has gone overboard. Which you shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised, but you shouldn't accept it either. Not only have they, oh my gosh, some of the stories I have for you today. Not only have they gone entirely overboard to just not even inform you. They don't even want to inform you of the basic facts of what is happening, because they're terrified that you're going to interpret it as Trump did something good, so maybe he's not so bad. They would rather you be uninformed and clueless as to what is happening in your country than tell you, because they're afraid that it's going to make someone they dislike politically look good. That isn't a patriot. That's a tyrant. That is an un-American tyrant. And that's how our media is behaving. Oh, please get mad at me. Please write a million think pieces about this. Oh my gosh, I beg you. I am here all day. So they also were just, they've also ridiculed Jared Kushner to the point of no return, basically. But I read it there. I've been thinking about this because I was having a conversation with my youngest son, And he was talking to me about, you know, why aren't they, he was saying something like, well, why aren't there any farmers like I read about that used that now go and serve in government? And now it's all like professional people in D.C. And I'm like, yeah, well, because that's sort of that's what the people who are obsessed with being part of the ruling class want to stay that way. And so they want to make it to where no one else can represent their area's interest in government. And that's kind of like what it's become. And when you had Trump and Jared Kushner and everyone else go in there, first off, they were disliked because they're nouveau riche. And that's the blue blood, snotty, like hereditary. If you want to talk about old money and generational wealth, it's mostly blue state or Democrat voters that live in the Northeast, and they go to the Hamptons and they have vacation homes and they do all of this garbage. It's mostly those people. That's where it's centralized. Oh, and in San Francisco with like the Getty and the Pelosi families and Gavin Newsom's family and everybody else. I mean, they're all intertwined. So to that extent, we were having a conversation about this because first there were people I think who were just absolutely snotty that someone who didn't go through the proper snotty elitist political channels ended up actually getting into the White House and then brought on people that weren't professional diplomats, because we've heard over and over again, you're going to have professional diplomats to be able to handle professional diplomat work and do professional diplomat things and have professional diplomat conversations. And then they bring in Jared Kushner and they got, oh my gosh, all these people got so mad. First they were like, well, he's a Democrat. Well, aren't you privately? But then you kiss everyone's butt publicly and act like you're a Republican. Please, I can't tell you how many times I've seen some of these people say this stuff, but I know how they vote. I see who they donate to. It's the same way that I see some of these grifters out there that sit here and extol the virtues of family while hitting up some tart at the bar at CPAC. I've seen you. Shut up. So all of this, this is how it always has been. And so when you have Kushner and these other people who have not been in these elected positions and they come in outside of the electoral sphere, they are suddenly sitting at a table that all of these professional people have tried to keep very uncrowded. They have tried to make it to where not a lot of people can sit at their table, and they really want to make it look as though, well, you can't understand how the sausage works or how the sausage is made. You can't understand how it's made. We're not going to show you because it's very difficult and only people like us can do it. Well, all of this proved that everything that we've ever heard about how DC operates is bunk. Every single thing, as if you didn't learn it with Reagan, a guy who came in from Hollywood. Everything is absolute. In fact, the people who are the most successful are the people who are outside of it. The people who are the most successful are the people who have not grown up and grown into, matured into this Tupperware fresh environment of Beltway politics. And so that's originally why they were mad. And then, of course, I do believe that there are some people who just love, absolutely love the authority that comes with and the optics that come with getting involved everywhere we shouldn't be, all around the world, and spending the blood and flesh of people that they talk down to or gossip about whenever they're sitting and enjoying their steak at Morton's or, well, Charlie's is closed in D.C. There's a bunch of places now that are closed in D.C. Whenever they're sitting at Shelley's Cigar Bar in D.C. or whenever they're eating steak at Morton's, those are the people that they always gossip about, but they're eager to spend their offspring in their conflicts. So I'm so happy that this is all out in the open now. I'm so happy that we can all have this conversation and we can pretend, you know, stop blowing smoke up everybody's butt, all the voters' butts out there. I'm so tired of it. I'm done. And I've read, I don't know how many pieces just from all when this happened, when Kushner went out there and they had their press conference and everything else, I just, all of these think pieces that have been out there really criticizing his involvement. But guess what? He was better than Marie Harf, and he was better than all of these other people that were there in D.C. and that kept saying that they're the only ones who can have these conversations. Do you remember Marie Harf's, like, the reason that ISIS is because they need to get jobs? Do you remember this? This whole thing? I do. I remember that, but hey, that was grade A diplomacy, right? So some of the other things that we're going to get into. Did you see the October surprise in September? A former model, 23 years after the fact, comes out and says that Trump assaulted her at the U.S. Open and says that he shoved his tongue down her throat and his hands were very gropey. Amy Doris, since you guys didn't believe Tara Reid, I'm just going to go ahead and go on. By the way, just to prove my consistency, I always said that I didn't think that Joe Biden was guilty and that people should be innocent until proven otherwise. But Democrats didn't even want to talk about Tara Reid. So Dems de rules next. That's literally all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to say another damn thing about it. And if you hate mail me, I'm going to sell your email address to people. All right. So Joe Biden also was discussing a mask mandate. He third time. He changed his position from 7 days ago. And I want to play this audio soundbite for you, which is three or 14, whichever one, because he. So, OK, let me really quickly. He had said 8 days ago, and I tweeted out a link from New York Post on this. He had said 8 days ago that he didn't want to enforce a mask mandate because he didn't think he could do so constitutionally. Well, that's changed. And I guess because some vague lawyers told him, listen to this.
I would call all the governors to the White House and say, and because there's a question, I think it can be answered in the positive, a question whether I can mandate over state lines that every single state has to comply. Our legal team thinks I can do that based upon the degree to which there's a crisis in those states and how bad things are for the country. And if we don't do it, what happens? But I would make the case. I'd make the case why it's necessary.
Whether or not there's a crisis in those states, I don't believe a damn bit of it. Neither should you. And you know what? If they tell you there's a crisis in your state, you shouldn't believe it either. Do you want to know why? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because of a story we're going to talk about here coming up where it came out that Nashville was lying to you all about what their case numbers were so they could keep you all in lockdown. You still want to believe these people when they tell you that you need to do certain things? You still want to believe? Do you want to believe these people? I'm going to tell you something. If they can mandate you wearing something on your face, they can mandate what you have to inject in yourself for the betterment of the general welfare, for the protection of the common good. I'm not anti-vax. I think vaccines, just do what you, you know, do how you do. The only one that I always was like, maybe the Gardasil one. Can we, you know, not inject? I pushed back on that when my kid was two. And I'm not, and again, if you send me hate mail about it, I will sell your email address. I swear to the sky, I will. So, but in general, I like vaccines. I like, you know, the rubella vaccine. I like the mumps vaccine. Woo, rabies. I mean, the vaccine. I mean, I love, you know, chickenpox. Woo, I'm fine. I'm fine with it. You do you. Get out of my business and let me do me. However, I can like something and hate being forced to do it, right? For instance, I love AC/DC. Love them. Went and saw them when they came back in Dallas. I will love them all day long. The moment you tell me, well, you're going to be forced to go. This is a mandate that is coming down from some judge in your county or the mayor or the governor. And we're going to require that you go or at least listen to a full AC/DC album once a day, or just even if they say listen to one song once a day, I will suddenly hate it. I will riot. Not because I dislike them, but because I dislike being told what to do. I've always been like this. This is why I refuse to live and work in New York or DC, because I don't like being under people's thumbs. I have a million things to go over with you because I have and yes, I'm going to tell you all about that disturbing revelation coming out of Fox 17 in Nashville. Emails show that you were lied to. Wait till you hear this, y'all. Some people are going to be getting sick. I hear you all down in Nashville taking flip-flops off and marching to the mayor's office. So I'm just saying, we're going to have that conversation. Also, the subject of Soros is not verboten. Why are we not allowed to talk about George Soros all of a sudden? So coming up, we're going to Soros the Soros out of Soros. How about that? We're going to just talk about it. And I have a million examples about this guy spending billions to reshape district attorney races across the country. And in Minneapolis, they're wondering, where are the police? For real. I'm not even making it up. We have that for you. Continuation with Marxism in the church, schools managing criticism of Black Lives Matter. We've got that for you. 1,000 frillion things that you don't want to miss because, as always, we are packed. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com. Steve broke the computer, so he can't play our Quick 5 introduction. What? I just don't know if it counts, if it's not played. He broke it. I mean, we run a very professional operation here, everybody. All right, it's very professional. Don't you think otherwise? I'm not joking. All right, so Kanye West was kicked off of Twitter. This, according from Page Six, and it's apparently because he went on a tear, urinating on his Grammy in a toilet and all this stuff. And somebody was having a case of the Mondays on a Wednesday, and so apparently he got pulled off of Twitter for a bit. He had to remove a tweet because he put out the guy who runs Forbes. He put his phone number out there, which is actually kind of funny. No, Dana, it's not. It's not funny. A record number of Republican women are running for office, but the media doesn't want to pay attention to them because your vagina doesn't count if you are a registered Republican. Also, let's see here. This is, where's the one I wanted? This one. No police, no peace billboards to reach 4 million people in New York, Atlanta, and Dallas. 6 different billboards have gone up, 2 in each New York, Dallas, and Atlanta. This was all after 2 Los Angeles County Sheriff's deputies were shot, seriously wounded in an assassination attempt on Saturday night. But I've noticed that police unions and a lot of other groups have been putting up billboards like this. There's one in Dallas right there. I mean, as you drive in, no police, no peace. And they're just reminding people how are you going to protect yourselves, especially in a lot of these areas where they're gun free. Just FYI, we have a lot more on the way. I wouldn't shut up last segment, but coming up, the subject of Soros is not verboten. We're not going to start treating this guy like Voldemort, especially on networks. Stick with us.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Pro-criminal and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money. And they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this. Well, I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right, we're gonna.
Wow. It's awkward.
Okay, we're gonna move on.
Wow. Awkward. Welcome back to the show, danalash.com, where nothing's verboten. And find me on Twitter, Parler, Facebook. Also, the radio show, heard coast to coast, simulcast on channel 244, Pluto TV, via the first. Yeah, it's not verboten. Sorry. I just find that weird, especially when there are people that are on, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. When I am, you'll know. But especially when, you know, your airwaves have benefited to a great extreme from previous reporting on said verboten topic. It's kind of weird. The idea that you can't talk about George Soros' involvement and his, it's publicly documented. This is not, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I am so cynical. I am cynical of conspiracists. And this, though, is, that was just silly. Why? Why can't you talk about it? I mean, they're having a discussion about riots and everything else that have taken place in a number of cities. And now how you're looking at upwards $1 to $2 billion of insurance damage and or in insurance claims because of the damage. And I know for an absolute fact, and I will fist fight somebody on it, because I've actually done the work on it. And I've followed the story from when it was happening till now. I didn't just sit on my butt and have a producer Google it for me. So, you know, when I look at this and I even going all the way back to, like, for instance, in Ferguson with Mike Brown, that was a news story that activists were brought in and that they were getting paid, because when they didn't get paid, they protested outside of the organizer's office in St. Louis, the organizer, the Moore Foundation, which received money from Tides, which is a Soros entity. And they trended on Twitter the hashtag cut the check. They made it a news story and said, yes, they are paying us. This is our job. It was literally a news story. Furthermore, the idea that Soros isn't involved to an extreme degree, to the tune of billions of dollars, is just simply a lie. I've collected some headlines for you here. And I've been writing about this at danalash.com because Kim Gardner, the St. Louis Circuit Attorney, who's the prosecutor in the McCluskey's case, who directed her forensics lab to fabricate something that on which she could justify a felony charge. They took a purposefully rendered inoperable handgun from Patricia McCluskey and the Soros funded Kim Gardner, whose reelection is coming up, and who was told, she told her forensics lab to make it operable. And then it was on that that they said, okay, now we're going to charge you with a felony. So you fabricated evidence. You ruined the case. Well, there wasn't any in the first place. But yeah, Kim Gardner had a lot of money spent on her, but she wasn't the only one. Here's an easily searchable story from the New York Times. Soros adds intrigue and $800,000 to the DA race backing progressives in Western New York. Two races, vastly different paths. Democrat challengers seeking upsets, billionaire George Soros involved. He has been, I mean, to a huge degree, $800,000 on ads supporting Shani Curry Mitchell, a very, very far progressive, and by progressive we mean Marxist newcomer who has the backing of billionaire George Soros. I'll continue because I have a lot of these, and I could sit here and go on and on. Also, this is from the Philadelphia Inquirer. The headline, George Soros helps Krasner become Philly's DA. And now he's back in Pennsylvania with $1 million this time to get the Delco Democrat elected. Now he's getting involved in another guy who's running for DA, seeking to drop seven figures into that race. I have more. There's so much more. This is coming from the LA Times. This gets into one of the prosecutors there in Los Angeles County, George Soros spending big to help decide next DA. Yeah, and it gets into just how much money Soros and a consortium of private funders like the ACLU and other social justice and Marxist groups, they've been targeting 56 different attorney positions up for election, five other California candidates were receiving lesser support. They were receiving millions upon millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars from this, from Soros. And this is not even, I'm just talking about some of the DA races and some of these other politicians that he's in races that he's getting involved in. That's not even reflective of the full number, nor is it reflective at all whatsoever of all of the different organizations that he has publicly documented to have funded. There's also this, there's a story from Newsbreak as well. Crime spikes, the Soros-funded DAs take charge. There's been a lot of stories on this. He's bankrolled a whole bunch of new district attorneys who preside over big cities with skyrocketing crime, frayed relationship with police departments. Soros-backed DAs in Philadelphia, St. Louis, San Francisco, and numerous other cities have fired scores of experienced prosecutors, and they have really politicized their office. And in the meantime, the quality of life in their city has declined because of the crimes like loitering and robberies and all kinds of stuff, vagrancy, assault. I mean, all of these, I mean, there's some serious crimes, violent crime, by the way, in a lot of these cities has suffered, has gone up. In fact, it's being described as a surge. St. Louis alone has passed Detroit as America's most violent city. And that's legitimate this time, not how they previously were trying to incorporate, because St. Louis City is unincorporated from St. Louis County. So it's a little bit of a technicality. But legitimately, after Gardner has decided to just be hands off and not even prosecute a lot of these violent charges, it is, there's no deterrence. So crime increases. That's how that works. She was hugely, hugely bankrolled by George Soros. She received six figures from just one of the PACs to which Soros is the sole contributor. Oh, and there's more. But wait, there's more. With the purchase of one slap chop, you get a second slap chop free. There's another piece from Washington Times talking about how the crime has spiked in these, again, in these cities with Soros-backed DAs. St. Louis, the St. Louis Daily newspaper discussed how Kim Gardner, the circuit attorney, has been defending her acceptance of Soros money. And she's received a lot of it. Like I said, this is Kim Gardner, one of four Democrats running for St. Louis Circuit Attorney in the August 2nd primaries, taking heat for a new political ad paid with money from billionaire George Soros. I mean, there's all kinds of these all across the country. And again, I'm only talking about just a few DAs and a couple politicians. Wall Street Journal, billionaire Soros funds local prosecutor races. There's tons of this reporting. It's everywhere. He is a major, major backer. He's contributed millions to political action committees. So either he'll donate through one PAC and donate through another PAC. But you're looking at, according to campaign filings, Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Missouri, New Mexico, Texas, and Wisconsin. That's where he's been the most active and has donated the most money. That's right. Interesting, correct? So why is this verboten? Particularly when a lot of the headlines, as it relates to the crime and the arson and the violence from the riots, always seems to end up as a headline where people are released from jail or charges aren't actually fully pursued or people are criminalized for defending themselves from said violent mob. It's all a purpose. There's all a reason for it. It is not verboten. And I realize that Marxists have taken the, you know, when they're not actually trashing Israel and running down Jared Kushner and Trump for normalizing relations between UAE and Bahrain and Israel and actually taking the Palestinian side and Hamas's side against Israel. When they're not doing that, they're wanting to accuse people of being anti-Semitic for noting that George Soros has been a huge, huge backer of Marxist organizations and Marxist candidates going on for several decades now. That's just fact. You're not going to gaslight people and try to emotionally blackmail them from talking about things because you want to inaccurately use that phrase, which is not even correctly applied here. But it is applied to your policy if you want to have really a go after that discussion. This is absolutely relevant to the conversation. Absolutely relevant to the conversation. And I'm not sorry, actually. I'm just suspicious of people who say it's not. Because clearly it is. It's not even a conspiracy theory thing. This is public information. These are tax filings that we see from candidates. So we're going to pretend that this doesn't exist because why? You don't make allies like that. This also, where did I pull this up at? Related to this, CNS News reported how FBI Director Chris Wray told Congress that the FBI laser focused on threats by racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists. He said that they've been, and with Homeland Security, they've been focusing on this. And so much of this discord, I do think it's entirely organized. And I know a lot of the educational stuff is entirely organized. And that's one of the things we're going to be starting on Monday. Now, when you look at the police and you look at defunding of the police, let's switch our gaze to Minneapolis, because now the city council is asking, where are the police? They had a big old city council meeting and they told the police chief that their constituents are seeing and hearing street racing, which results in crashes, brazen daylight carjackings, robberies, assaults, shootings. Jamal Osman, who was one of the people who supported defunding the police, along with a handful of other city council members who not only supported defunding the police, but also marched with the Marxists that were screaming for the defunding of police. Jamal Osman says, and I quote, "Residents are asking, where are the police?" End quote. You defunded them. You run the show, city council. You voted to defund them. You voted to change regulation to make them even more open to any kind of legal action if they do their jobs, even if they are within the guidelines and doing it by the book. The city council is inundated with complaints from residents. They say calls from police aren't being answered. Yes, because city council essentially told them to not answer them. It's unbelievable. And in fact, one, Philippe Cunningham, who's a council member, he was like apparently one of the only voices of reason. He says, "I'm flabbergasted right now because colleagues who a very short time ago were calling for abolition are now suggesting we should be putting more resources and resources and funding into the Minneapolis Police Department." See, you wanted to defund the police. That's what defunding the police looks like. And because it's not verboten, well, partially you can help thank some George Soros stuff for that as well. Mm-hmm. You defunded them. That's what happens. So coming up, William Barr decries the culture of criminalizing political differences in America. The media loves Timberland boots when a Democrat wears them. This is a thing. Everything's honestly, seriously, sweet meteor of death. ABC's John Carl says covering an indoor Trump rally is like taking your family with you to Fallujah. Sorry, veterans. Your experience is pale in comparisons to John Carl. Also, the Abraham Accords, China's war drums as well. Remote learning is a disaster. New headline story from New York Post. And like I said, we're also going to be talking about some education and the Marxism and the critical race theory coming up beginning next week. We have a lot of stuff still to touch on.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or the First, channel 248 on Pluto TV.
DanaLash.com. Nearly two-thirds of U.S. young adults are unaware that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, says The Guardian. This was according to a survey of adults, 18 to 39, 23% said that they believed the Holocaust was a myth, had been exaggerated, or they weren't sure. Wow, but how many of them can define microaggression, right? How many of them can do that? And then, of course, we're focusing on the pluralization of pronouns, but this is just sad. They studied millennial and Gen Z adults between the ages of 18 and 39. Okay, first off, 39. You are not a millennial if you're 39 years old. Beto? You're Gen X. Shut up. You are not a millennial being 39 years old, so stop it. They said they could not say, and I reject that. So cut that crap right out of the thing, because if that's any Gen X people, you need beaten. I'm sure it actually increases when you take the Gen X people out of it, right? I'm sure it does.
It says Nielsen says millennials grow up to 38.
No, they don't. 38. They are not 38 years old. Good grief. 38. I'm a young Gen Xer, okay? These people are not that close to me. I mean, we're not. No, I reject this outright because that's only like a couple year difference. That's stupid.
Or
no,
do they keep changing it.
It's so dumb.
Like, there's four different metrics on how you describe yourself as a millennial.
I think
age.
If you're a millennial, you needed to be around 2000, right? And then everything else should be after that. None of this makes any sense. It's so stupid.
It says millennial 81 to 96 is millennial.
Okay, that's a lie. That is a lie. It's a lying lie. That's so stupid. No, I reject it. I would say go up to 90. I would. I honestly would. You're not a millennial until you're like 90 or after. So I refuse. Because I will say this. The people that I know that are like in the 80s that were only like a couple of years behind me, they're smart. I'm not going to insult you people by throwing you all in the millennial category. I ain't going to do that to you, right? Now, some of these people are born in the 90s. Yeah, y'all dumb. Say, I'm just saying. Anyway, that's not the focus of the story. But I will say that if you take those 80s kids out, the babies, the 80s babies, then I bet it goes even higher, which is terrifying. More than half said they had seen Nazi symbols on their social media platforms and in their communities. Where do you live? And almost, are you like in Jojo Rabbit land? Like, where do you live? And almost half had seen like denial and distortion posts and all. So if you were, if the virus didn't make you consider taking your kids out of government run schools, this should. Right here. This should. Coming up. Apparently, going to an indoor Trump rally is exactly like Fallujah. We have that for you. The remote media, Rona, blah. Stick with us.
It's The Dana Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Putting a national lockdown, stay-at-home orders is like house arrest. It's you know, other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history.
That is William Barr, and the Marxists immediately, oh yes, they pounced. They seized and then pounced and seized again in that particular order. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Find me on the socials, Twitter at DLash, Facebook, Parler, and listen from coast to coast. Or you can also watch the simulcast, which is on channel 244, Pluto TV via The First. You can also find it YouTube and Facebook as well. He said he was so, when he was comparing the restriction, the level of restriction involved in the lockdown, as compared to the level of restriction in slavery, that is a nuance that escaped the wee minds of the Marxist left, and they lost their ever-loving minds and said, he said slavery! And that's what the headlines have been. No one has actually really paid attention to what he has said on this. But he was right. He says, putting a national lockdown, stay-at-home orders, is like house arrest. And he said specifically, and I quote, other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, he says, other than noting that that was the greatest intrusion on civil liberties, he says, other than slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history. And he's right. He is 1,000% right. He's talking about accepting slavery here because that was the greatest. This is the greatest. And aside from that, accept that. But nobody wants to listen. All they hear is, wah, 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 slavery. Wah, 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 wah. And then they go crazy. Who said slavery? Burn him. I mean, it just doesn't matter. But he's absolutely right. And we've been seeing this over and over again. And to that point, whenever something comes up about the Rona, I saw this. I want to bring this up. I'm actually going to bring this up now and not. I was going to hold it back. This actually comes from Fox17.com. You want to talk about civil liberties? I don't say the COVID-19. I don't say that because I don't take direction from communist China. The Wuhan coronavirus emails from Nashville mayor's office show disturbing revelation. Listen to this, you guys. The coronavirus cases on Lower Broadway may have been so low that the mayor's office and the Metro Health Department decided to keep it a secret. Emails between the mayor's senior advisor and the health department reveal only a partial picture, but what they reveal is disturbing. The discussion involves the low number of coronavirus cases emerging from bars and restaurants and how to handle that, and most disturbingly, how to keep it from the public. On June 30th, contact tracing was given a small view of coronavirus clusters. Construction and nursing homes were found to be causing problems with more than 1,000 cases traced to each category. But bars and restaurants reported just 22 cases. Leslie Waller from the health department asks, quote, "This isn't going to be publicly released, right? Just info for the mayor's office," end quote. Writes senior advisor Benjamin Eagles, quote, "Correct, not for public consumption," end quote. A month later, the health department was asked point blank about the rumor there are only 80 cases traced to bars and restaurants. Tennessee Lookout reporter Nate Rao asks, quote, "The figure you gave of more than 80 does lead to a natural question. If there have been over 20,000 positive cases of coronavirus in Davidson and only 80 or so are traced to restaurants and bars, doesn't that mean restaurants and bars aren't a very big problem?" End quote. Brian Todd, the health department official, asked five other health department officials, "Please advise how you recommend I respond," in email. The name at the top of the response is clipped off, but the answer, Fox 17 says, is unacceptable. The direct quote, "My two cents. We have certainly refused to give courts per bar because those numbers are low per site. We could still release the total, though, and then a response to the over 80 could be because that number is increasing all the time and we don't want to say a specific number," end quote. Neither the health department nor the mayor's office would confirm the authenticity of the emails, but council member Steve Glover had a Metro staff attorney inquire. And here's the official answer from the staff attorney, quote, "I was able to get verification from the mayor's office and the Department of Health that these emails are real." Wow. Steve Glover with the Metro staff says this is an orchestrated cover-up. He accuses them of fabricating information and blowing their entire credibility. He says he's been contacted by an endless stream of downtown bartenders, waitresses, and restaurant owners asking, why would officials not release those numbers? Fox 17 News wasn't told by the mayor's staff office that this wasn't true. We were told to file a FOIA, Freedom of Information. This now allows us to ask the question, why are you keeping this from us? Why would you even want to? It's just the real numbers, writes Fox 17. And what could possibly be an honorable motive? So here in Nashville, you have elected officials conspiring to mislead the public about the number of cases stemming from bar and restaurant reopenings so as to further justify the lockdown of bars and restaurants. So when you hear Bill Barr say things like, you know, except slavery, which was a different kind of restraint, this is the greatest intrusion on civil liberties in American history, discussing the lockdowns. Yes, he is 1,000% right on this. So I know that you hear us too when we're in Tennessee and in Nashville. I know a lot of people like to go to Nashville, and we have a lot of people who live in Nashville who listen to our program. You should be turning up the heat to an uncomfortable and legal degree on your elected officials and asking them why they are lying to you. And really, I mean, there's no basis, there's zero basis for them to continue the lockdown of Nashville as it relates to their bars and restaurants. And their emails themselves discuss that it actually has been the nursing homes really that have been the biggest thing. This is unbelievable. And what gets it is that this Nashville City Council member, Steve Glover, his attorney, because he was talking with his, the member saying that they're fabricating information. We raised taxes 34% and put hundreds, literally thousands of people out of work that are now worried about losing their homes and their apartments, and we did it on bogus data. That should be illegal, Glover said. Apparently he's the only person he was talking to Metro. He was the one who talked to Metro staff, not Metro staff, but he's Nashville City Council member, and he's apparently one of the few voices of reason. So this isn't about keeping people safe. This is about Nashville Mayor John Cooper playing politics with the livelihoods of Nashville residents. You have Republican leaders that have been lifting restrictions and the media has been blasting them for it. Here you have a Democrat mayor and members of a city council. These people are caught in email that have been verified lying about the number of cases stemming from restaurant and bars so as to continue the justification of locking them down. Wow. Now that's worthy of a riot. I'm not saying to go out and riot. I'm not saying to break the law either. Not like they did. Unbelievable. Let's actually reach out to John Cooper there, their mayor, and have John Cooper come on the program with us, Nashville's mayor, and ask why it is, and we should have some of their city council, and we should get Steve Glover on too. Why is it that they're, and good on city council member Steve Glover, good on him. Good on him for speaking so forcefully about this. We'll continue following the story, but this is pretty unbelievable. Also, I've been to many rallies and I've been to protests. And even the ones that have seemed like they could just go sideways at any moment, I never once thought that they were ever like an actual battlefield. But that's what John Carl compared them to when he said that covering an indoor Trump rally is like taking your family with you to Fallujah. I think we have this. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. Maybe we don't. But it was audio, and it was on the show sheet last night. So this, he had said this, that it is like you're taking your family with you to Fallujah. That's kind of crazy. He goes, it's not like embedding with the Marines. He goes, it's like you're taking your family with you to Fallujah. I'm sure that everybody that is in, that actually served and went to Fallujah, totally agrees, right? It's just like that. Why? Because you were heckled? Because you were heckled? Nobody's seriously going to do anything. My gosh, you have a greater chance of getting beaten up in the head by Antifa out in the street than you ever do at a Trump rally. But see, it's this narrative. I have noticed that John Carl hasn't had any kind of similar criticism as it relates to the riots, whether it's with Black Lives Matter or Antifa. Mm-mm-mm. So this one last quick thing here, because we got headlines on the way. Kane, do you know what you're going to be for Halloween? Are you dressing up for Halloween?
No, I probably won't dress up at all.
Now, what are the rules? Like, you can't dress up as anything that's not your culture, because it's called appropriation, right? It's appropriation. Yeah. So the Karen is said to be the most popular Halloween costume of 2020. Partygoers are splurging on blonde wigs, I want to speak to the manager t-shirts, and $180 face masks to transform into an enraged white woman. Now, Karen is, obviously everybody knows, except for the couple of people who email me saying, stop saying that. No, you stop. It's slang for a woman who is demanding and complaining and is just a total nag, right? She just is whines and all of it. And it also can be used to describe a racist woman or anything like that. Karens are, and they all have the Kate plus eight haircut when she looked like she backed into a lawnmower, not like the way it is now. But isn't that like, but isn't that cultural appropriation? So if you wear it, is that not racist or sexist or something? I thought Dems de rules, right? Or am I wrong? I'm not wrong. We have more to come, including coming out the late. We've been talking about this week, Marxism in the Church and Critical Race Theory. I have some pastors that are speaking out, though, and we're going to talk about that coming up. Also, schools managing criticism of Black Lives Matter. Next week, we're going to start the discussion of how this is emerging in schools and the national effort to push back. We got that and a lot more on the way. With the new school year quickly approaching, it is important to stay connected to those you care about now more than ever with a company that shares your values. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, can help you support and save. Now through September 12th, switch to Patriot Mobile with promo code DANA to get a free phone or a free month of service. Plus, you can build your own bundles with multi-line discounts, free activation, and a free gift. As always, Patriot Mobile continues to donate to organizations you believe in. When you switch, a portion of every dollar will support Students for Life, a nonprofit group that helps educate teens and young adults on pro-life choices. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code DANA for a free phone or free month of service, free activation, and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This is a really sweet story coming from Humble, Texas. Hundreds flocked to Texas man's taco truck after his daughter's heartbreaking tweet. It was really sweet. Giselle Avias, 21, tweeted of her father's eatery, the Taqueria El Torito. Said that if you could retweet, I'd appreciate it so much. She says, I normally wouldn't do this, but my dad's taco truck business is struggling. He only sold $6 today. If you could retweet, I would appreciate it. And that the truck was in Humble, Texas. She said that about that. Then people just showed up apparently from everywhere, which is awesome. So she said that she figured they had nothing to lose and that she would tweet it out. She said there were 100 customers the next day that bought meals at the eatery and that her tweet had gotten about 8,000 retweets. Now, remember how many small businesses are out there struggling. Just unbelievable. This just coming in. So Texas Governor Greg Abbott is saying that bars must remain closed in Texas until there are better ways found to reopen. Now, you'll remember just last segment, I was telling you how Nashville city leaders lied about cases stemming from bars reopening so that they could continue the lockdown. Moving on here, pull this up. This is a 1-2 punch of a hatchet and a blowtorch. I saw this last night, and I could not get over this headline. A hatchet-wielding suspect in Berkeley, and this is in California, a Berkeley blowtorch attack, tried lighting others on fire before the incident. So this guy named Brandon McGlone was arrested outside of a tea shop. He tried to attack people with a blowtorch, light two other people on fire. And apparently what happened is he approached two guys eating outside at Artichoke Basile's Pizza, knocked their food off the table, said he was going to light them on fire. And as they retreated, he sprayed them with aerosol lubricant, WD-40. And as they were running away because he was trying to set them on fire. And then he was running down the street. He tried to enter a store and immediately sprayed and ignited the hair of two people. So bystanders extinguished their hair and they were trying to subdue him. But as they struggled to detain the man, he pulled out a hatchet from somewhere and threatened them. So, you know, when the blowtorch doesn't work, I guess try the hatchet. That's weird. The only way this is acceptable, by the way, is if you're dealing with spiders. That's the only way. Washington Governor Jay Inslee gives maggot-infested apples to wildfire victims. That is so government. That's government, ladies and gentlemen. That's the ad. Jay Inslee, Washington State, known for its apples, but he's trying to bring comfort to communities, and he gifted illegally, apparently, baskets of apples from his orchard in Olympia, his orchard that were found to be infested with maggots. That's disgusting. Stay with us.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Mother Earth is angry. She's telling us, whether she's telling us with hurricanes on the Gulf Coast, fires in the West, that the climate crisis is real and has an impact. 16 people have died in Washington, Oregon, and California, including a firefighter and a one-year-old baby. Our firefighters have been so very, very courageous.
So is this,
the fires, the air quality. Where
the was this from the guy named Climate Change who got caught setting it on fire, setting stuff on fire in Oregon, or the guys that were called Climate Change who got caught setting stuff on fire in California, or the Climate Change people that had a Climate Change gender reveal party for their baby Climate Change, and they literally let off a bomb? I'm curious. I'm asking for a friend. Not at all for me. Not at all for me. Welcome back to the show. So, there was an ad that she gave an interview yesterday. I'm not going to play it because I can't convey it on radio. That's why I didn't put it in the thing. But she was like trying to make herself cry at one point. It was weird to watch because I was like, what is she doing? And then I realized, oh my gosh, she's trying to cry. She was trying to make her, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But she like went through the motions of like dabbing her eye, like somebody would if they were crying. I'm like, no, there's no tear there. That's not happening. Stop it. Mm-mm-mm. One of the things we've been talking about all this week is this critical race theory and how it's a Marxist theory. It's based in Marxism. It's from critical theory. And that's the thing, whenever you hear the stuff white privilege and all this other stuff, that's all critical race theory. It all comes from there. And it's the whole thing focuses on the claim that everything in the United States, every bit of the institution is invalid. It's illegitimate because it is racist and it is only to benefit white people. And that's all it ever is. And that's all it ever will be, which is why it has to be entirely deconstructed and rebuilt. And that's what critical race theory is. And Black Lives Matter, which is a Marxist organization, it's built on critical race theory. And when you go to the What We Believe section of their actual legitimate official website, it gets into all of that. It also talks about deconstructing the Western family unit and reparations and all kinds of stuff. Things that it's weird to see certain religious figures embrace because it's anti-gospel. And I've been talking about this in the context of this interview that the guy who's the head of Hillsong New York, Carl Lentz, an interview that he gave, and he was saying that the church was racist. And really, I mean, his answers were really glib, and he was indicting the entire body of Christ. And I've written a couple of things about it if you've signed up for the newsletter, and I'll publish it later on the website. But those of you who signed up for the newsletter have already had it for days. But the good thing is that there's a couple of bits of pushback. So first off, there are pastors who are speaking out on this. Dorian Williams, who's a pastor in San Antonio, he's a black pastor in San Antonio because that matters to Marxists, has said that he's not gonna hold people accountable for things that they didn't do to him, and he's not gonna go around disliking white people because of stuff that people here on Earth today who worship alongside him did not do to him in the past. And he said, I'm not going to live in the bondage of anger. And he was preaching to people at a prayer event. I thought there was a great quote that no one was really talking about at all. And there are a lot of pastors who have been speaking out about it, whether it's an issue of they just don't get a lot of attention or maybe they don't speak out in a manner that gets attention because they're a little timid about it. For instance, what is it, Rick Joyner, who is a pastor, he spoke out and said that it's a Marxist organization. The idea that it's a decentralized social movement isn't entirely correct because it is an official organization. It's an official organization, in fact, that works with Act Blue to raise money. They have official belief platforms. There are other groups out there as well. Sure, there are some different groups, but they all subscribe to the exact same critical race theory principle, which is that the United States as a whole, it needs to be deconstructed and rebuilt because the entire system, every institution is built on racism, and that's where systemic racism comes into play. Now, you can have something that is systematic in one thing, but as a whole, which is what systemic refers to, those words aren't actually interchangeable. And so this idea that systemic racism exists is really hard for a lot of people to buy into, especially as we were before Europe even. We were the first country to proudly elect the nation's first black president. And we're also the country that spent about half of its men in fighting against the moral failing of slavery. And so it's difficult for a lot of people to say, systemic, that's a big indictment. And you can't use it as like some sort of universal statement. It has to be backed up. But this is what critical race theory teaches. And the defense is that if you disagree with any aspect of the critical race theory that's espoused by Black Lives Matter, then you must be a racist. That's how it's presented. I mean, in my community alone, and we're going to be talking more about this next week, there has been a huge effort to introduce critical race theory, specifically teaching about white privilege and all of this other stuff in our school district. And there have been Marxists, and it's weird because they're led by old dudes. Isn't it like every one of these efforts is led by, there's always some old white dude. Can I also say as an aside how unbelievably ironic I find it that you have critical race theory, which is about everything is racist, which is built upon a theory of an old white man who was a notoriously racist. Karl Marx was a notorious, hateful racist. This is indisputable. So it's really ironic to me that this critical race theory is built on his system of communist Marxist reasoning. It's bizarre. And this is also someone who said that he was going to dethrone God and take over the world. I mean, that's what he said. He was incredibly hostile to religion, and he was hostile. He'd be hostile against individuals that are using his theories now. It's like, why is it that, sidebar to this, why is it that people on the left tend to forget this stuff? Conveniently. Like, they forget Shea was a big, giant racist. A huge, notorious racist. And that's just sort of like romanticized out of the history books, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Nat Geo, National Geographic. I was going to mention this yesterday. The other day, they had this tweet that they came out with where they were saying, oh, the French revolutionaries achieved so much and like units of measure. Talking about the metric system. No, the French revolutionaries didn't achieve anything. It was a failed revolution that ended up being overthrown by a dictator. And then afterwards, the monarchy was reestablished. And they murdered a lot of people. So no. Mm-mm. No. But it's weird. People are romanticizing Karl Marx. He was a big, giant, old, fat racist. And apparently that's not one of the things, I guess, that was going to be suggested as a lesson in the curriculum, the critical race theory curriculum, for instance, that they wanted to introduce in our school district. And they were pushing it. They were also going to establish a committee of people of administrators to track students' microaggressions, and they defined the microaggressions, and again, this is all critical race theory, they defined that as something that is consciously or subconsciously done. It could even be so much like a look, entirely unintended, a look, or just someone, and that should worry you, because in this everything is arbitrary world, simply being a person of faith could be considered a microaggression. Simply existing is a microaggression. And to have that like be established on students' records, this was also going to cost over $1 million to taxpayers. And so people in our area really organized and fought back. And this was so well organized, the opposition. I mean, they have professional ads that are made. They have all these videos that are cut. They have people running their social media accounts. I mean, and this is happening all over the country. All over the country. And it's probably, if it's not happening in your school, it probably already happened and you didn't know it. And we're going to talk about that next week. But to this point, I'm thankful for the pastors that have spoken up and have pushed back on this. And like, for instance, Joyner saying, look, they're an admitted Marxist organization, which they are. And Christians should be taking a stand against Marxist organizations because Marxism is incompatible with Christianity. Seeking atonement outside of Christ is incompatible with Christianity. The idea that you're going to falsely accuse someone of a moral failing as to use as a political tool is incompatible with Christianity. And yet I see all of these so-called shepherds that are doing it. I'm not a fan of Hillsong, and I'm not a fan of Carl Lentz, and I think that he is a false shepherd. That's my opinion. I do. And I feel like other people need to be stepping up. Now, I don't know a lot about Joyner. I'm just glad that this guy's speaking out. And I've seen other pastors. I've noticed that all of the black pastors, and there have been a lot that have spoken out about this. How many of these black faith leaders that have spoken out against the Marxism of Black Lives Matter, the group, how many of them have you seen given airtime on CNN or MSNBC? How many have been given recognition like Dorian Williams? None. Doesn't go with the narrative. So it's not an issue of race, because if you're a person of faith, that is irrelevant. You're part of the kingdom, and everyone's shoulder to shoulder pushing back on that. And that is the other thing. Critical race theory, while saying that everything's racist, also does not like colorblind societies. I don't understand that either. That's weird to me. It's like the stuff that we joked about a couple of weeks ago where it was University of Michigan and they literally established a white people cafe. They were calling it non-person of color cafe, but it was a white people cafe. Okay, that's critical race theory in action. It doesn't make sense. It's like against your self-interest. It doesn't make any sense. But that's, and again, just the irony of any kind of movement calling for equality that bases itself on the beliefs of an old dead racist dude. Unbelievable. We have more to come because, as I said, the schools are managing criticism of Black Lives Matter. Now, Washington Free Beacon says that students are dealing with unprecedented free speech violations as schools punish critics of Black Lives Matter. There was the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. They said that they've seen an unprecedented number of First Amendment violations amid the ongoing wave of racial protests. They're seeing this a lot. And parents are finding this out, too. That's one of the things we're going to start covering on Monday. Coming up, it doesn't matter if you bend the knee, because Kaepernick isn't happy either way. He's mad at woke NFL. So it doesn't matter. Also, the collapse of the rule of law. We have that. Some social justice warriorism. And we're also going to get into this. It's a cancel culture story. It's this guy. He's some kind of sports radio host. And he's in trouble because he remarked on the outfit of somewhat of this ESPN sideline reporter. And then Judd Apatow says that Hollywood has been bought. China bought our silence, he says. Yeah, well, they're still going to keep doing it. He's speaking out, but what all does he have to lose to speak? I'm just curious, why is he speaking out about this now? Anyway.
If you make a mistake or don't quite hit the mark, does that mean you're a bad person? Pastor Alan Jackson doesn't think so.
One of my favorite parts of the Bible is that all of our heroes have flaws. And there's nobody in there that the story's not told about.
Yeah.
And when I hear Christians stand up, because I've been married 63 years and I've never been mad at my wife, I think either, well, you're too stupid to be aware or you're lying to me, because life comes with challenges.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Yes, it is. I liked that pudding word from Bill Barr, though, when he was, sounded like somebody made me think of pudding. Okay, all right. This I did not know children's scissors were this sharp. Huh? I'm just saying. Bay News 9. A man stabs a library worker with scissors in an apparent unprovoked attack. He went into the children's section and apparently his children's scissors, like from a craft area or something, in Smyrna Beach, New Smyrna Beach, and stabbed somebody. Like, what did the library do to you that you feel the need to do this? And thankfully, the woman is okay, according to the Volusia County Manager, George Rechtenwald, in a news release. She was at the Halifax Medical Center. She's going to survive the attack. But that's insane. It was pretty gruesome. Non-life-threatening injuries, though. Berman Bedford, what a name, is facing a felony charge of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. That's just, no. Okay, so, like I said, private businesses and private entities, even if we don't like them, they can still have rules and operate by those rules. If they don't want to bake a cake for you, they don't have to bake a cake for you. If they want you to wear a mask, then you have to wear a mask to be on their private property, or you just don't have to go. We're not bake the cake people. But I do think it's funny that this guy misquoted Bug's Life after getting booted from Disney World for not wearing a mask. This comes from Orlando Weekly. He was trying to rally people for support. He incorrectly quoted Bug's Life. I love that that's the lead, though. That's the lead. He goes, remember the movie that came out at Walt Disney World? It was called A Bug's Life. Remember Hopper? If one guy stands up, one ant stands up, they'll all stand up and they'll lose control. Well, of course, that's not like actually what was said, but I know what he's talking about. I just think it's funny. This cracks me up. This whole thing cracks me up. Can I play this? No. I don't, because I don't think there's some.
I don't think we can hear it. Actually.
And it might be censored, or need censoring. Just gonna say. But yeah, he didn't quite get that one right. Let's see here. That's a long time ago, by the way. A Bug's Life. I'm just saying. That's a long time ago. A Florida man runs a flying squirrel smuggling operation. This is Nat Geo. I did not know, Florida, that you had like this whole flying squirrel smuggling operation. And why do you need to smuggle them? That's apparently it, though. Investigators say thousands of squirrels have been illegally trapped and they're sent to Korea for some reason. I don't know why, but that's just something that they're Florida Fish and Wildlife have been getting a number of people in trouble for this. Knox Farm Bushnell, Florida, is apparently at the center of the crime operation. A licensed breeding business, and they take them, they're like exotic pets, and they're selling them in Korea. I did not know that. It's a tree rat. You guys know this, right? It's a tree rat that flies. That's what it is. Stick with us.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, Peter, this deal is a bit uncomfortable for a lot of observers to watch because it seems so transactional. It's as if pulling out of the Iran deal is what got these Gulf states on board to do this, you know, to then recognize it. It feels like there is a lot of quid pro quos involved in this, that it isn't something larger than that. Then again, sometimes Middle East diplomacy, the only way to make things move is through the transactional nature of the region.
What? This is my hot take, guys. Welcome to the show, by the way. I'm Dana Lash. Find me on social media. I want to hurry up and talk smack, so let me get through all this. Find me on social media, DanaLash.com, as well as listen across the country, or channel 244 Pluto TV via the first. So apparently, Chuck Todd does not think he's comfortable with this deal because it's transactional.
Like all deals.
No, don't say that, Kane. Deals are never transactional. Everyone knows that when people come together to make a deal, that only one person benefits. That's how deals work. Always.
Wow.
Do you have a contract? I mean, does he have a contract to work at his job? Do you think that he does?
Probably.
Chuck Todd?
Yeah.
So, but that's not a peace deal. But it's a deal. It's a deal, though, all the same. It's transactional. That's how this works. Hey, guys, how about I don't attack you and blow you the hell off the planet Earth, and you don't attack us and blow us the heck off planet Earth? How about that? Sounds like a deal. I don't know. I think that sounds pretty transactional. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
I just, you could put him anywhere and make a meme out of that. Anywhere. Well, I don't know. It sounds pretty transactional. I don't mean to make him sound Minnesotan, and I apologize to the Minnesotans, but I cannot do his voice any other way. That's how he sounds like. Whenever he talks, I hear him, and then it morphs in my head. Do I talk like this? I can't. All right, so that's, yeah, it is. That's the whole point. It is transactional. That's the point. Good job. You're doing real well. Gosh dang, guys. Okay, so, oh, man, I've got, I'm moving a couple things around here because we have way too much on the thing today. With the Biden mask mandate, and I got some polling stuff, and he did change his mind on the mask mandate. He said you're not going to be able to force people, although, again, if your government can force you to purchase a product like insurance, who's to say that it can't force you to wear something on your face now, like a face mask? Thanks, John Roberts. You are not the best. Now, a couple of things here, polling-wise. Amy McGrath is doing horribly in Kentucky. No one is shocked. Joe Biden is doing horribly in Michigan. I keep reading articles. I keep seeing article after article on this. I just sent out some in the newsletter last night. So he's supposed to be running a digital campaign in Michigan, but apparently they don't even have like a field office there. Now, it's one thing to run a digital campaign and campaign differently during a pandemic, but it's a little different to not literally have anything there. Like, apparently there isn't a dedicated Biden campaign field office anywhere in Macomb County. Or a bunch of other counties, apparently. They had one Biden voter that talked to Time Magazine. They couldn't find, like, even any signs or anything. They couldn't go anywhere. My gosh, I know, like, 5,000 places I can go, like, right now, right by my house, where I could go and at, like, field offices and all kinds of stuff. So, grief. He's not doing well. Voters are asking, where is he? He's not visible. This is what happened with Hillary Clinton in Wisconsin. Same thing. Not visible, not doing very well. And as a result, he doesn't look great in Michigan either when you look at the numbers. And that could end up really, like I said, like with Wisconsin and Hillary coming back to bite him. Another piece, this was from New York Times. Some say Biden needs a higher gear. They say that President Trump's campaign barrels ahead with crowded rallies and in-person door knocking. They say Biden's not doing enough to excite voters. Biden also sucks at retail politics. Every single time he goes out to talk to people, he gets in an argument or an almost fight.
Yep.
Remember that one guy he got mad at, told him to go to hell? Because he was asking him about Second Amendment stuff. And then he got in an argument with another guy. And then he told another guy, hey, look, fat. And it just keeps going on.
I'm not the president.
He said that yesterday. How crazy. What if you... Now imagine this. Imagine this. Imagine this. You're sleeping. You're sound asleep. And you hear like... You're woken up because you hear like a noise in your room. And it doesn't sound like a noise that would normally happen organically in your room. Something's different. And then as you come to full consciousness, you hear this.
I'm not the president.
Oh, my gosh. That's a horror film right there. That's how it starts. Let's stream it. Put it on Hulu. Yeah, they say this. So this article at New York Times, I think it's hysterical. I was like cracking myself up this morning when I was reading it. Because they're saying, well, Trump is just barreling ahead with these crowded, risky rallies. But Joe Biden can't even go door to door. they're mad at Trump because he's holding these rallies. This is one of the reasons why media is so desperate to link up some outbreak to Trump. Oh my gosh, they would love to do that. Oh, but then if you say that, they're going to say, how dare you say we would love for people to get sick? No, you want an outbreak. And they, and now sidebar, I have some friends, some people I know, who are sensible Democrats, and they work in sensible Democrat things, but they're like, oh my gosh, what the hell is he doing in Michigan? What the hell is he doing? You can't run an election like this, especially, or a campaign like this, especially when your side and the base, particularly for Democrats, has always responded to that. Like, they've always had this like populist sort of thing. They've always responded to with something like that. You always have to stay out there and in front of people. Otherwise, they're like, where do we go? Who do we get behind? We're lost. We have no enthusiasm. And apparently, like, Biden's people don't understand that. And my friend that I've known for like 15 years was raging about this, raging. And that's, so I was like, as I sent them this piece, and I was like, oh, look, everybody's mad. They're mad at the rallies. Look at that. Aw, it's a shame that you guys can't have those rallies. Oh, my goodness. And then they even try to stop Trump from having them, like in Nevada. You have Steve Sisolak go out there. And I said his name right, Sisolak, right? Sisolak. This is going to be a boot edge thing, isn't it? So they're not. I mean, did you see Biden sitting in somebody's backyard with four dudes? Or no, I'm sorry, three dudes and one chick. They were all spaced out, and interspersed between them were a few little yard signs. And there was one operative that said, why are his events so small? They've been so terrified about exceeding crowd limits. All the local leaders are mad. So here's the other thing. It's one thing to do small events, but if you're doing small events, you have to do a ton of small events. He's not. He goes to like one state, sits in somebody's backyard with four people. They take pictures and he goes back to his basement. What in the world? And so all these local leaders everywhere, even Florida, Nevada, Michigan, Pennsylvania, they are mad because they don't get to go to these events. You know, you're volunteering and doing all of this and you don't, you know, and he's not even visiting some of these areas. Like in Erie, Pennsylvania, local party leaders are like, please have more of a presence on the ground. Please, 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 please. And Biden's like, nope. Nope.
I'm not the president.
Oh, it's true. It doesn't matter how much money Biden has. If he's not out there actually electioneering and campaigning, then it doesn't matter. It's not, money is not going to make him apparate into all these different events, right? It doesn't work. Zoom is not the same thing as standing on somebody's front porch. Zoom is not the same thing as having even just a small event. Like, if you're going to do one of these small, goofy backyard events where people sit in circles, and you have to make it that obvious. Have you seen it? They're like in circles. I watched one event where there was like spray painted something on the yard. Don't leave the circle. Gosh dang, that's so creepy. Stop. It looks weird. And I think that they try to do that as a way to keep people from thinking that it's not, that it's just nobody's interested and hasn't shown up. These are clearly marking, remember, 6 feet of distancing. I think it's an optic for that psychological, you know, intimation. But it looks awful. He needs to do a ton of those events. He can't just go to like Pennsylvania once and sit in the backyard with somebody and be like, okay, I'm going by. And then that's it. It just looks silly. It looks silly.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Well, it's not though. It's silly looking. He's not doing well as a result. Now, I will say in one of the areas where he's actually, and I'm trying to, I'm going to look more at Arizona, but Arizona Cook Report has it as moves to leaning Democrat now. They said that they collaborated with the Kaiser Family Foundation on a couple of surveys, and they were looking at how it was breaking out in Arizona. And they said that Trump carried Maricopa County with 52% of the vote. And this is back in 2016. But that's where the population is really concentrated in. And then you have, say, they said that in that Trump's percentages have fallen in Maricopa County and Phoenix, out the suburban areas and around, not in the big metro areas. So interesting. And one of the accusations is that maybe that GOP voters are not as committed to supporting him as they are in other states. And I don't know. In Arizona, there's question as to whether this is an influence of like Jeff Flake or John McCain or something like that. But it is, it's interesting. Now, everywhere else, Trump is doing really well with Latino support. In Arizona, not as much because it's 17 to 55. But that was, now this is in just two surveys. 538 puts Biden's lead at 49 to 44. So there may be, and there could be more variables in there, but it's something to watch. So coming up, rule of law, social justice warriorism, and I got an email, and I want to share this email that I received too, because now apparently here we had the story yesterday where now Beethoven's Fifth is considered classist and bigoted and racist, which is and we made fun of it as it deserved to be. But now symphonies are getting political. Why? Can we have one refuge? Can we have one place where we can go and get away from all of it? Apparently we can't. So we're going to talk about that coming up as well. And we have headlines.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at DanaRadio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
This is an unbelievable headline. Listen to this. Watchdog identifies 50,000 double voters, 350,000 dead persons still on voter rolls. It's a watchdog group. They reviewed voter records from more than 40 states, and they found 350,000 dead voters still on the rolls and more than 50,000 people who cast more than one ballot in the 2018 election. They said many of the double votes were what? Mail ballots. Mail ballots. That's from the Public Interest Legal Foundation in a report that was released Wednesday. So Carol Bass, this dude, y'all need to run. This family needs to run. Don Lewis's family, you remember he was married to Carol Baskin. A commercial of her missing husband aired during her Dancing with the Stars debut. I know! Oh my gosh! She was on Dancing with the Stars on Monday, and she kept with the tiger theme. The family of her second husband, wasn't he the guy who was in the thing? Ran a commercial asking for information. That was the one who's disappearing. Sorry. Ran a commercial asking for information about his disappearance. I am like just, oh my gosh. And of course she danced with Eye of the Tiger. But they ran that commercial. That takes some beans like I have never seen. Oh man. Patagonia. They sparked controversy by stitching vote the blank holes out on the inside of their clothing tags. Their crude call for customers went viral over the weekend. It's on tags in the indoor clothing brand's latest shorts line. Patagonia rep Tessa Byers claimed that it was not directed at the president. So they said that it refers to politicians from any party who deny or disregard the climate crisis because their pockets are lined with money from oil and gas interests that they had stitched on there. Hey, by the way, where's their stuff made? Anybody know?
China?
Probably. I'm asking for a friend. This is a horrible, horrible headline. Daily Mail says stillbirths have surged up to 50% amid lockdowns in the coronavirus pandemic as pregnant women are avoiding seeking care, according to global research. One UK hospital alone found a four-fold increase in its stillbirth rate. CDC research says that one in four women hospitalized for coronavirus were pregnant. Three out of 93 who were hospitalized had stillbirths, but many more just not going in to get their normal care. That is heartbreaking. We have a lot more, including a very dumb controversy up next.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
The leader spoke. The gentleman on the other side said, where are you when you're talking about violence, this or that? We're there.
No, you're not.
We support peaceful demonstrations. We participate in them. They are part of the essence of our democracy. That does not include looting, starting fires.
Somebody looked at the polls.
Or rioting.
80 days later.
They should be prosecuted. That is lawlessness.
Yeah.
I'm very proud that Joe Biden has presented the clarity of that.
Making clarity.
So how many days did you say it's been?
Oh, it's got to be at least 90 at this
point.
This
is literally the first time they've ever condemned this. Last time she said some people will do things. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Yeah, we just heard from our school that we're going to be going to doing the distance learning stuff. So here we go. Whoo, everybody hold on to the roller coaster. Is it time for wine? I'm kidding. Sort of. Not really. It's just very difficult. Just sidebar. And then I got this other stuff to get into. Because I homeschooled, right? To my kids were in eighth grade. So I know what I know and I know what I don't. And my youngest son is incredibly advanced in math and science to a terrifying degree. Like, just all of you should be out there thankful that this child was raised a Christian. So, like, he codes and creates games out of nothing, and I have no idea how he does this. I don't know what he does. I mean, I look and I'm like, and so I just... So... When he has like math homework, and he never ever has math homework. It's not even math anymore. It's just numbers and stuff. It's just letters and numbers and signs. It's the letters, numbers, and signs class. I only got as high as algebra 2. He's beyond me, and I can't help him. Just like, well, I guess it looks right. I don't know. So, and it's very. Thankfully, he's a self-starter and all of that. But man, all you parents out there, that especially when you have kids, like not just in high school, but junior high and then also elementary. And there are, because I have friends who have children spaced amongst all of them. God love you for it, because you have to basically become split personality to deal with all this. It's a lot. So God love you. All right. All right. All right. So. Where was I going to start at? Oh, yeah. Well, the Pelosi thing with the... I'm so glad. They looked at the polls. Yeah. That's what that was. She might as well just come out and said, well, we looked at the polls. And we discover that we need to condemn this. That's what they did. That's what they did. So... Now they can at least say that they're on record. They got that done, so they're finished. They don't have
to
say anything
else. Is
she going
to take back the enemies of the state and put it on the group of people creating the lawlessness now? Or is she going to still call Republicans?
No, she needs them. They need them enemies. To vote for them. Come on. What, King? You know better than to ask such foolishness.
It's hopeful.
I have the writer's response if you want it.
Oh, sure. Let's have
it.
Yeah, that's great. That's exactly it. All right, so I have to share with you guys this... email that I received, and we've reached out to the individual, and I don't know if I can say who it's for. Well, they sent a letter, but there's one thing with when you're sending a letter to the president and CEO of the entity with whom you are affiliated, and then like going on radio, nationally syndicated radio, to talk about it. So that's why I'm like, oh, but I'm going to mention it because they said love to hear a mention. Okay, so I'm going to do it. I'm so sorry. I hope this is okay. So. This is the email I received this. Actually, I got this just earlier. It says, Dana, news from your hometown orchestra. The Dallas Symphony has traditionally, and I've been in the orchestra since 1987, opened each classical concert subscription season with the national anthem. This year, after rehearsing the anthem at the September 10th morning dress rehearsal, it was cut from the program by the time the evening concert rolled around. Another entertainment industry bowing to pressure from the woke left. The backstory, the League of American Orchestras released a statement on racial equality that was outrageous. It even accuses the orchestral world of actively trying to keep Black Americans from, quote, even listening to classical music. And I have the statement here. My response to the president and CEO of the Dallas Symphony is attached. It's time someone in the orchestra world stood up for America. And I'd love to hear a mention of this on your show. Thank you for all you do. Christopher Adkins, principal cellist, Dallas Symphony Orchestra. Wow. And I'm looking at this statement that was released. And remember how I was saying just yesterday, we had the story as to how now classical music is coming under attack, and that people were saying that Beethoven's Fifth was classist and racist, and it was a write-up over at Vox of all places, and incorporating the Marxist critical race theory, it was argued that, well, it is bigoted because, and the things that they listed, quite frankly, and this is not like, I'm not being reductive, it was quite simply, well, you know, you have to dress a certain way and you can't applaud and all of this, you know, like heaven forbid there's, it's like that with anything. As someone, again, as somebody who practiced classical ballet for 17 years, there are also certain things that you do involve watching the ballet or going to, you know what, I'm going to say this. There are more people upset over that on the left than they are over the communist Chinese involvement with NBA and how you can't even hold up so much as a protest sign. Just saying. The statement from the League of American Orchestras, they said that they were listening to underrepresented voices in their field, centering equity, diversity, inclusion in their programs. And the current pandemic and growing recognition of disproportionate police violence against Black people shine a light on America's long history of systemic inequities for the Black community in particular. This sentence right here is false. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, when they're talking about disproportionate police violence against Black people, that is not statistically supported. Now, do I believe that racism exists? Absolutely, I do. And I also believe that we have had a torturous portion of our shared American history. Do I believe that certain things are systematic? Sure. Systemic? No. This is where vocabulary is important. And statistically, there is no evidence to support. This has been examined everywhere from Wall Street Journal to the Washington Post. The premise of disproportionate police violence against Black people, that is not statistically supported. Now, I am not going to make someone happy by lying for you. That's what this is. I'm not going to make someone else happy by lying to them or lying for them. And you should not, and anyone else should not, expect other people to do this. You are not trying to promote equality when the requirement for said promotion is predicated upon other people accepting something that is false. That is gaslighting. That is not advocacy. It is not raising awareness. Now, they touch on Black code and Jim Crow laws, which existed. Segregation, which I'm glad that they oppose it. I just hope they don't vote for the guy who vociferously championed it for how many decades that he was in Congress? It gets into the prison industrial complex. I don't think that we have a criminal justice system issue. I think there are certain things that have been criminalized, overly criminalized. We have too many felonies, and we give seriously dangerous criminals wrist slaps, and yet we go after people who do, like, what, you know, maybe they're found. And I'm not a pro pot, whatever. I'm not. I don't care. I want to have my firearm and worship and be left alone. But, you know, somebody who has like a tiny, you know, marijuana related charge gets the book thrown at them. And then somebody who commits a serious crime gets a wrist slap. But this is criminal, or this is critical race theory. That's what this is. The League of American Orchestras acknowledge and accepts for and apologizes for the role it has played in perpetuating, participating systemic discrimination based on race within the field. What? I mean, isn't the whole point of being able to play in an orchestra and where you are sitting and how your status based upon the talent through which you play? But they get into all of this. They say that their field played an active role in excluding black musicians. And they said that the field has also played an active role in excluding, you know, composers, black musician composers, administrative staff from performing, managing, or even listening to orchestral music. Are these people going into... Now, these are leftists that are writing this. And yes, the Klan was a leftist organization. But are these people actually saying, these orchestral people, that they... Did you go into black people's homes and turn off their stereos? And turn off their iPods, and then later on just their phones and their laptops? And I mean, like, how long has it been going on? You've been going into people's houses, going in their cars and changing the stations? Like, when does it stop?
Like a stereotype.
Yeah. Hmm. Are they not stereotyping themselves?
Right.
I'm curious. Hmm. And they were going to play the anthem and then decided to not play the anthem. I'll have this up, written up for you all later on the site. I am very pleased that someone stood up, and I worry because I don't want them to be, penalized for it. The letter that Mr. Adkins wrote says, quote, it's to Kim Noltemy, the president and CEO of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. Says, a former colleague of mine was recently brought to mind. I remember him as a talented cellist and a musician, highly intelligent, deeply creative. Sometimes I conferred with him regarding a mutual passion for songwriting. And he says, he has impressive character. He says, imagine my consternation, therefore, when on one occasion he leaned forward confidingly and asserted in utter seriousness that the moon was proven to be artificial, an artificial hollow sphere placed in observation above the earth by some unnamed civilization for obscure purposes of its own. He said, by proof, he cited the fact that the entire sphere of the moon had been set resonating by the shock of the liftoff from Apollo 11's Eagle on the lunar surface. And he's giving this as an example. He says that how to square the person of so many years acquaintance with the seeming lunatic peeping out from behind the curtain of normality. My question is not rhetorical. I do have an answer. He said, human beings are indeed rational creatures, though only sporadically, which is true, when deeper subterranean impulses do not prevail. And then he discusses on the necessity of the arts. And he says, the recent racial hysteria has severely strained my desire to always understand the thoughts and motivations of others, even when I might disagree with them. How can so many beneficiaries of an America that is quite demonstrably the most tolerant, accepting, welcoming, open, generous, multi-ethnic society that has ever existed on this planet suddenly brand her an irredeemable cesspit? By measure, there has never been a society so ready to take any step necessary to realize the ringing call of liberty and freedom for all her citizens. Name another nation, he asks, that sacrifices more than 500,000 infinitely precious sons, and mentions the Civil War. And he goes, you can't, because there is no other. America is to be celebrated, not vilified. And he touches on the League of American Orchestra statement on racial equality, and how it's undermining the Dallas Symphony Orchestra's own response to racial unrest. And he says, if the phrase all of us doesn't include Kim Noltemy and Christopher Adkins, then it doesn't actually possess any discernible meaning at all. So the assertion is systemic racism and discrimination are rooted in a belief system, white supremacy, into which, you know, these two were born. Well, no. He goes, Christopher Adkins was most assuredly not born into the belief system of white supremacy, and I would be relatively comfortable in the surmise that young Kim was also led in a different direction. Says this statement should be soundly rejected and unapologetically rebutted. I agree. Hear, hear. We'll keep you updated.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Overall, we can likely push Vice President Biden in a more progressive direction across policy issues. I think foreign policy is an enormous area where we can improve. Immigration is another one. Criminal justice is another area where we can pursue a lot of.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, three strikes, you're out.
Yeah, that's. But she is kind of admitting that they're going to push him around.
Biden's a puppet.
Yeah, he is. But he's just, he don't know. Ugh. All right, so tomorrow I have to talk about, I'm going to talk about that story that this dude got fired because he criticized this woman wearing leggings and a cold shoulder jacket top on the sideline reporting with ESPN. And the rage mob is trying to go after Gina Carano. I'm going to say this again. The rage mob is trying to go after my girl Gina Carano, who I have followed since Strikeforce. Elite XC days, like I have followed her forever. I have been a huge fan of Gina Carano for forever. And I also watched her in, I mean, she's been in so many different movies. She was in Deadpool. I followed her in like forever. She's been in a ton of different movies. Brilliant, brilliant fighter, great actor. She's in Mandalorian. The rage mob is going after her. Oh my gosh, they're trying to JK Rowling her. She didn't even do anything offensive. Now everything is a microaggression. Like I said, if you just exist. Good night. All right, today in stupidity.
That was enough stupidity for the day. Jeez. But we've got more. Joyless Behar talking again. And this time disparaging Trump supporters. It's not surprising at all.
What interested me also was his use of the term herd mentality. Now, it's really herd immunity that he meant to say, but it's an interesting Freudian slip, isn't it? Because it kind of describes the people who are continued to follow him. They're in a herd mentality, like lemmings going over a cliff.
Over the cliff. We're all going over the cliff.
Yeah, we're all. We've been doing that.
With Paul Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. DanaLash.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.